Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Morning, folks. Well, we've got a real wow reading for you this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Reading from verse 2. For those of you who like to read in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1022. So that's Mark 9, verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead really meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected?" This is the word of the Lord.
So as I mentioned, we're delighted to have our friend Christian here this morning, Christian Sanna. And Christian, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are?
Sure.
I've just said who you are, but you know, what you do for a living.
Indeed. So my name is Christian, and I am from Croydon, of course. And what do I do? So I work part-time for New Life Christian Center. I'm also a singer, and my background is working in HR, people management.
Nice.
And so that's my kind of brief background of what I do.
Nice. And what do you do at New Life?
So I work with Connect Groups. So I kind of oversee the Connect Group structure at New Life. And so
like home groups.
Home groups. And so that's,
Good job.
Indeed.
Christian, we're talking today about this amazing, awesome God we've got. When is the time for you when you first realized that God is awesome?
I think maybe around the age of 11, I had raised in a Christian home, and then my mother, who is a very strong Christian, really was, you know, prayer or hear her pray, you know, in the night and sometime in, you know, early in the morning. I think, you know, really just kind of that influence, you know, began to impact me, I would say, by the age of 11, where I was able to really see, oh, wow, you know, this is more than just the fact that we go to church, that Jesus is actually a person. He is, a person that can be loved and who loves me. And really, I think that really began my relationship with this wow effect of Jesus, I would say.
Yeah, very good. So how do you think living day to day in Croydon, which, let's be honest, is a little bit wet and grey and bleak at times, most of the time. How do you find awe in your day-to-day life?
How do I find awe in? I think, you know what, once again, it's really going to find the, it's the small things in your, including God in everything that you do and seeing him through everything that you do. And I think one way that I do that is, you know, in the morning, I try to start my day off with speaking to him. Mm-hmm. And I think that tends to generally, I would say, sensitize my heart to his wonders. And therefore, I tend to be more aware of him all throughout the day. So I would say that's really my access to the wow factor.
Very good. Very good. Well, I'm going to pray for you in a sec.
Yes.
Do you want to tell us why you're wearing a cap?
Oh, absolutely. So I did mention, you know, because generally I don't wear a hat. So I had a little minor procedure in the back of my head. So that's the reason why I'm wearing a hat. I generally don't wear a hat when I'm preaching. And so it's just for today. So I hope you can excuse me and you can forgive me. Is that okay? Thanks.
We're delighted to have you, Christian.
Thank you.
Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to hear from Christian today. Would you help our hearts be soft and our ears be open? And would you give him words that come from you? Amen.
Thank you. Well, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to share God's word with you. And this morning, as I said, I've been given the privilege of being able to share from Mark chapter 2. Okay, let me just get my... Here we go. Yeah, and so basically to share from Mark chapter 9, from verse 2 to 12. And so that's my assignment this morning. And so, yes, a bit like Natasha said, I am from Croydon, you know, and so I am specifically from West Croydon, the best part of Croydon. And so, you know, the best part of Croydon. But, you know, it's an honor this morning to be able to spend time with you and to spend, you know, time with your church, your wonderful leadership, John, and, you know, John and Stuart and everybody. So really, really appreciate this opportunity to be able to share God's word. And so this morning, my focus, and I think, you know, what kind of like my focus this morning is really kind of taken off from this amazing chapter, or shall we say this amazing passage. You see, have you ever tried to explain something to someone? Or maybe you're trying to explain, for those of you who are teachers, maybe you would understand this, you're trying to explain a great concept to someone, but it just seems like they don't seem to get it. You know, or maybe some of you are parents who are parents of teenagers. You're trying to teach your child to clean their rooms. And it seems like, you know, well, no matter how much you tell them to clean the room, they just don't understand the concept of what it means to have a clean and tidy room. You can agree to that. You see, and so basically, you know, sometimes you will go and you will go to great lengths and great measures to really try to get this concept into their head. And so maybe you may use illustrations. You will take away things and say, if you don't clean your room, I will take away your phone. And maybe you try to go to these great lengths to use objects to try to teach them a lesson, but it just doesn't seem like, you know, they really understand it. And so maybe, I don't know, maybe to kind of really help them understand and to grasp the lesson or this thing that you're trying to tell them, you will maybe go to the lengths of being able to actually do the things yourself so they can see you do it, right? And maybe you would take them to a place and you would take them to experience something that would give them a real life situation of what it is that you're trying to teach them. You see, in our scripture passage today, I think it's important that we understand that, you know what, the book of Mark, or shall we say the gospel of Mark, Jesus has been trying to tell the disciples this one amazing thing. So when you really, really, really look at the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Mark isn't so much focused, I would say, on the works of Christ. Because oftentimes in the gospel of Mark, you will see the gospel and the works of Christ portrayed, his miracles, his power, everything else that Jesus wanted to reveal is revealed, I would say, more so in the gospel of Mark. And so Jesus has spent time with the disciples for about 3 years, And he's nearing maybe the end, he's nearing the end of his time on earth. And he has tried to try to get this concept to the disciples. But although the disciples could understand and could have had a concept of who Jesus was, they only had a slight, and I would say, you know, a partial understanding of who it was that was actually walking on earth with them. They only had a partial understanding of Jesus, of his nature and his power and his ability. Now, Jesus, in his amazing and wanting to help his disciples really to grasp the person who the person who he was, Jesus decided to take three of his main disciples to the mountain. And this is, of course, James, John, and Peter. These are the future leaders of the church. And he wanted to give them a real-life experience of what it is, of who he was, to reveal himself to them. I would say, you know what, it's important for us to understand that every work, every miracle, every signs and wonders, everything that Jesus performed in the Word of God had one thing in mind. He had one goal in mind, and that was to reveal his nature to them. The miracles were not even the goal. The signs and wonders were not even the goals. Everything else that he did was not even the goal. But the goal that Jesus was trying to get across to his disciples primarily was who he was. Not only his humanity, but I would say his divinity. And Peter, when you would read the previous scriptures, you would understand that Peter began to get this understanding. He confessed to Jesus as the Son of God. So he began to get this understanding. But just a couple of verses after that, he reverted back to saying, well, Jesus, we don't want you to go to the cross. We don't want you to having to endure such pain that you're going to be suffering. So Peter, although he began to understand Jesus, he really did not understand the full understanding of who Jesus was and in his purpose. And so Jesus, in his attempt to try to make Peter or try to make his disciple to understand, he took him to the mountain of transfiguration. And at the mountain of transfiguration, he revealed himself to them in a way that they have never seen him before. They had never imagined Jesus, this Jesus that they would sit with, this Jesus whom they had spent time with, this Jesus whom they had, loved and had befriended, this Jesus who became a close friend. And yet when they arrived at the mountain, this was another Jesus. It was totally a different person. Although they could relate to him, although they knew this was Jesus, but it was another dimension of Jesus that they had never understood and come in contact with. You see, I'm convinced the greatest need of our time, and I'm convinced the greatest need of believers of Christ in this moment is a fresh vision and a fresh revelation of Jesus Christ. I really believe everything else, and please, I said a fresh revelation. I didn't say a new revelation or a new vision of Jesus. I said a fresh revelation. Why? Because I think that's important. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. But it is important for us as believers to have to enter this moment where we are constantly in awe of this Jesus in whom we serve. It's very easy for us to become mundane in our walk with God. It is very easy for us to walk with Jesus just like the disciples. They befriended Jesus. They loved the Jesus. They knew who Jesus was. But yet they began to miss the full magnitude or the magnitude of who this amazing person was, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus, in his attempt to seek to reveal himself to the disciples, he took them to the high mountain. And as I said, you know what? I believe the greatest need for the believer in our time, it is what? Is to have a fresh revelation of Jesus. It is one thing to be a believer. It is one thing to come to church. It is one thing to be able to get used to the things that we do. Prayer, reading our Bibles, that's wonderful. But the problem is that we can become so used to that we lose the awe of who God is. You see, something about familiarity is that often as we live and often as we engage in things and often as we get used to things, we could lose the awe effect of who God truly is. And I think it's important for us to understand this. So I'm going to take a little bit, you know, a few principles and a few thoughts that I have taken from this passage that I want us to look at this morning. The Bible declares that God or Jesus led the disciples to a high mountain. And I like the Bible because when I read the Bible, I'm not sure about you, I read the Bible ensuring that I take it slow because I think sometimes it's important sometimes to read the Bible so you can understand it. The Bible says a high mountain, not just a mountain. Why a high mountain? The Bible says he led the disciples to a high mountain. Now, when you study the Bible, you will understand that the mountain or mountains represents the presence of God. In the Bible, mountains represented places where sacrifices were made. Mountains represented places of encounters. Moses encountered God on the mountain. You know, you look at God perform amazing wonders and signs and wonders on the mountain when Elijah performed, you know, this great show of power of God. Where was it? On the mountain. So Jesus takes these disciples on the mountain. As a matter of fact, when you read the passage in the book of Luke, it specifically says that they went up to the mountain to pray. So the mountain here speaks to us of the place of prayer. And I really do believe in order for us to be able to remain and to keep this awe of Jesus, in order for us to sustain this awe of who Jesus is, we must engage and understand that we must leave the bottom of the mountain and get up to the mountain and seek God. And it's amazing when you read that scripture, the Bible says, it says he took them to a higher mountain by themselves. And another translation says that he took them to the mountain alone. What does that mean? Solitude. Time that you have to come upon by yourself to seek God, to seek to reignite this awe of this God in whom we serve. That he's not just another one of our friends, or maybe he's not just another great personality. He's not just another prophet, as some would say. He's not just Moses or Elijah. No, this is the very Son of God. The Bible says that he took him to a very high mountain to pray. And as they arrived on the mountain to pray, the Bible declares that he face transfigured, he changed, he transformed. And as a matter of fact, when you read also the Luke's account of the gospel, the Bible says that that as he prayed, it uses exactly these words, as he prayed, his face became a shining. Or as he prayed, he changed. And I really do believe that in order for us to remain at this, to have and to maintain this awe of Jesus, we must engage in a place of prayer. We must engage in a place where we are, as we behold him and as we are communing with him, we are asking God, oh Father, open my eyes to behold the wonder of Jesus. Don't allow my eyes, my natural eyes, to blind me to the wonder of the one who remains and sits and who reigns above the heavens and the earth. It is important for us, by the grace of God, to remain and to have that effect, to have to ask God to give us this awe of Jesus as we prayed. I'm going to use the remaining time that I have to tell you a little bit what a fresh vision or a fresh revelation of Jesus would do based on our scripture in the name of Jesus Christ. The first revelation of Jesus that we see from the scripture that we read, the Bible declares, it says, his clothes became shining exceeding white like snow, such as no laundress on earth can whiten them. You see, this reveals something which is quite key. I believe this reveals the purity that every time we come in contact with Jesus, every time he is revealed to us, the Bible declares that this reveals to us the purity and the righteousness of this Jesus in whom we serve. It is very easy as we serve Jesus to forget how pure he is. It is very easy as we serve and love Jesus and walk with Jesus to forget how righteous he is. And the Bible declares that, his clothes became white, such as no laundress on earth can whiten him. What does that mean? It means that the righteousness that he possesses basically was given to me. He said, the heavenly righteousness. And my encouragement here, and the lesson that I learned from this, is that this Jesus who is righteous, this Jesus whose clothes became white, that no laundress on earth can cleanse, is the same one who is able to wash our sin and make it white as snow, as the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says this, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin are like scarlet, this says, they shall be white as snow. And so for what we know is that as we receive and as we contemplate and as we receive a fresh revelation of Jesus, what does that do to us? It cleanses us. It breaks down the fabric of sin. It breaks down our habits. It breaks down the struggle and maybe the sins in our life. Why? Because his righteousness becomes our righteousness through a union that makes us become righteous in his sight. So his righteous, as his clothes became white, when we stand before God through Jesus Christ, God sees us as perfectly righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does that excite you? You see, the blood of Jesus has the power to break down every fabric of sin and make us whiter than snow. God desires to cleanse us. God desires to impart his righteousness to us. As the Bible says also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. And therefore, Jesus Christ has become almost the one who sanctifies us. As we contemplate and as we behold Jesus Christ, we become like him and we take his righteousness. The second thing I want to look at this morning that we receive as we have and as we, as we contemplate on Jesus, this fresh revelation of Jesus, what does this do to us? It reveals God's authority and God's power over life and death. We must not forget that the Jesus in whom we serve has total authority over life and death. Understand this, as Jesus was praying, the Bible says that Elijah and Moses showed up. And Elijah and Moses, appeared. If you know anything, of course, in the Bible, is that Elijah or Moses had died about 1,700 years prior to this. And Elijah died about 1,000 years after this. As Jesus was praying, what happened? The Bible declares that Moses and Elijah appeared. What is that? That basically tells me is that Jesus had the power to summon a meeting and say, you know what? Come from wherever you are. Because at this time, understand that Elijah and Moses were not in heaven yet. Why? Because Jesus was not yet risen. And therefore, it meant that they were still in a place where God had kept righteous souls. And so God brought back Elijah and Moses back to life for the sake of a meeting with Jesus Christ. This tells me something, that Jesus Christ has total power over life and death. And I want to encourage you today that the Bible declares and calls him the resurrection and the life. And the Bible declares, it says, he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And therefore, Christ does not only give life, he also sustains a life. I want to encourage you today. There may be certain areas of your life where you may see that you may feel like something has died. You may feel like maybe a dream has died. You may feel like the circumstances of your life, or maybe something that God had promised you, or maybe something that you whatever it is, your relationship, maybe going through a divorce and you feel like that situation has died. I want to encourage you that if Jesus was able to summon Elijah and Moses, who had died thousands years before, to back to life, God can bring back to life whatever is dead in your life. Do you believe that? In the name of Jesus. For the remaining time that I have, I think I have a couple of minutes. I just want to finish this. Jesus, the third thing that we see as we contemplate and as we behold and as we seek a fresh revelation of Jesus, this is what the revelation of Jesus would do for you. The revelation of Jesus will reveal to you the mind of God. Verse 7 of our scripture says, it says, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, it says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. You see, in our day and age and in this generation, there's so much noise. Everyone has something to say. Social media, the news, the experts, this person said this. This is the next thing you need to do. The health, I mean, there's so much to hear. And to be honest with you, we can get so confused because there's so much things that are coming into our ear. And we are almost like, you know, who do I believe? Who do I listen to? But the Bible says that there is one voice that you and I ought to listen to, and we cannot afford to ignore. And the Bible declares that's the voice of Jesus. It says that this is my beloved son. It's not Moses. It's not Elijah. It is not the great men of the Bible. It says there's one man. All the Old Testament prophets, all the law and whatever the God had spoken to in the Old Testament had one message, and that was Jesus. And so when Jesus appeared, I'm going to finish now. And when Jesus appeared, he had one thing in mind, to speak to us the mind of God. So whenever God, you hear God speak, whenever God speaks through his word, what does he do? He speaks the mind of God. If you want to know anything and you want to know the mind of God in a subject, please find the thoughts of God, which is the word of God in scriptures. Jesus Christ reveals the mind of God. For the last minute that I have, the last thing that Jesus reveals according to this passage is that Jesus reveals life's essential. What does that mean, Jesus reveals a life essential? The verse 8 says, it says, suddenly when they looked around and they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves. So Moses appeared, Elijah appeared, this great glory encircled them. And the Bible declares that after all that had passed, the only person that was standing with them was Jesus. I want to encourage you. When you strip life at its bare minimum, you know what you have? Is Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you in everything that you do, seek a greater revelation of Jesus Christ, love him, honor him, and desire to behold his glory. And I trust God that even as you behold him, you will see these things work out in your life. Let's just pray. I know my time is over, and let's just close our eyes. I want you for a minute to think. Take a moment to reflect. What have we allowed in our lives that have obstructed our vision of Jesus? Could these be challenges, relationships, work, or even perhaps Christian activities that have blinded our eyes to this amazing and wonderful and powerful Jesus? Think about that. I pray that God, in Jesus' name, you will open our eyes to behold once again the wonders of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Blessings to you guys in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.